People often ask, what exactly is a Stephen minister? One way to put it is that Stephen ministers are the after people. Stephen ministers are there after the phone call you hoped you never get. After the funeral, when everyone has left and the emotions you've held at bay come crashing in on you. After the relationship falls apart and you feel all alone. After the doctor says, I'm sorry, but there's nothing more we can do. After the nursing home director shakes your hand and says, welcome to your new home. After the last child honks the horn, waves, and drives away, and the house suddenly seems empty. After the gavel comes down, the handcuffs go on, and your loved one is led away. After the baby arrives, demanding more of you than you ever dreamed possible. After your family and friends have heard your story one too many times, but you still need to talk it out. Stephen ministers are the after people. They are ready to come alongside you and provide comfort and support for as long after as needed. If you are interested in a Stephen minister, please contact the church office.
I didn't need a Stephen minister when my child drove off to college. I was wondering if they'd ever leave home. My wife may have needed one, but I was just happy. Good to have you here today. We are focusing on Stephen ministry today. We don't very often get to spend the whole service and the whole message time talking about this thing called Stephen ministry. It's such an important ministry here at Washington Avenue. And today at the end, we're going to be commissioning three brand new Stephen ministers, just freshly minted, freshly finished with their training. Before we do that, I want to talk about the program. And maybe this is brand new news to you. Maybe you have no idea what a Stephen minister is. Maybe you do because you've participated in the program, or maybe it's just something you kind of heard about on the side, but we'll all know more by the time that we're done. So let me just start today and kind of approach this elementary-wise with some basic questions of journalism, who, what, when, where, why. Let's talk about what is a Stephen ministry. Why do you need something like that in a church? Well, it is a safety net. It is a systematic shepherding program that pairs trained shepherds, men and women, with individuals, men and women, who have a need of listening. They need someone to love them, to encourage them, to support them as they walk through or out of a valley. Okay? That's about as simple of a definition as I can come up with, and we'll come back to it. That's what a Stephen ministry is. Why do we need a Stephen ministry? And let me give you the simple answer, and then I'll spend most of the sermon giving you the longer answer, okay? Here's the simple one. To ensure, by means of shepherding, that all of the members of our flock are safe and loved and well cared for. Stephen ministry provides a solution to that very need, and we're going to talk about that at length today, explaining a little bit more about why, okay? So if you know everything about this, you can kind of snooze back until lunchtime, then go home. And if you don't, you can pay attention and learn something. I have a very simple structure today in terms of an outline. It's a 3-2-1 lunch, okay? 3-2-1 lunch. Three problems we're going to talk about and two biblical examples. And then we'll finish with one very practical solution, and we'll commission those Stephen ministers, all right? So let's jump right in to the three problems. These are not just problems at Washington Avenue. These are three problems that are true in any and every church. As we'll explain later, you just are more aware of them in different circumstances. But there are three problems, and the first problem I want to talk about today is the problem with the sheep. You know who that is, right? That'd be you, okay? The problem with sheep, and it's a bad problem. Okay? Do you know the Bible's favorite description of humans is sheep? And there are a lot of reasons for that, but a lot of verses that point to that. The Lord is my, what? Shepherd. That means we are his sheep. Okay? He leads me in paths of righteousness. He makes me lie down. That kind of points also to the management aspect of that. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each has turned his own way. That explains a lot about our world today and the situation that we're in. Even Jesus loved this analogy. Jesus said himself, I am the good shepherd, right? He said, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. He told us, encouraged us, fear not, little flock. And even in a beautiful juxtaposition, Jesus, the good shepherd, becomes the Lamb of God. There's a picture of sacrifice. Well, basically what the Bible wants to show us, and I think what Jesus had in mind when he called us sheep is this, and I'm going to candy coat this for you, okay? Here's the basic problem. Sheep are stupid. Okay, I mean, just soft blow there, okay? Because they are wayward. If you know anything about sheep, you know this is true. They're wanderers. They can just walk, they can eat themselves right off of a cliff. They are basically defenseless. They have lots and lots of needs. My granddaddy was a rancher, and he raised sheep as well. And he had a couple hundred of them at one time. I remember as a child, 4, 5, 6 years old, riding out there to the ranch with him in his red pickup truck, and we'd get out of the truck, and man, you'd hear the noise, and the sheep would come running from every direction until you were just mobbed. It was like being in the middle of a cotton ball. It was kind of crazy. He knew every one of them by name because all of them had a tendency to cause or find themselves in trouble. It's the truth about sheep. They need constant attention. You know the little ditty, Mary had a little lamb. Her fleece was white as snow. Everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. There's another verse. It stuck close by, you know, for between its ears 'twas numb. Though fluffy and cuddly and gentle, all sheep are basically dumb. Okay? It's there. Second verse, right? Look it up. The problem with sheep, and God's point in calling us sheep, is not to put us down. It's not to just remind us that we're stupid or challenged in some way, although we sheepishly can be, right? I think we all have to admit that we're not always at our best. The point of God calling us sheep is reminding us perhaps that we are highly needy and we are highly dependent people. We need a shepherd really badly. It's part of the way we're created and wired. And sometimes we're a little bit stubborn. Look at the person next to you and shake your head. Okay? A little bit stubborn. And we can be, even though humans are remarkable creations, we can be pretty defenseless when certain storms come. And we need a shepherd. We need a shepherding ministry because there is a problem with sheep. Sometimes that problem grows out of our imagined independence. Now, I know nobody here is independent or thinks they're independent, or you think the person sitting next to you is independent, but we tend to imagine that we really don't need much help. We can really make it. We can get by on our own. Our culture kind of celebrates those qualities in people. So we tend to stuff our problems. We tend to act like we don't have any problems at all, and we tend to live our lives as if we would say, I don't need any help at all. Stephen Ministry exists to address that somewhat and to provide help when we can be smart enough to understand that we do, in fact, need it. So that's the problem with sheep, okay? That's the first. The second problem that every church faces is a problem with shepherds. Shepherds are very relational, right? Whether you are a literal shepherd with sheep, you're hands-on, you're taking care of them. Or in a church setting, for example, we have elders that are also shepherds. There are many of you that in different ways carry shepherding roles. That is an echo of Jesus. They are simply people who have a radar that sees what other people need, and they are willing to get outside of their own comfort zone and ask, can I help? Right? What can I help you with? Shepherds care deeply. Shepherds love and need to be needed. It's part of the way they're wired. But there are limitations for shepherds, because at the very bottom line, shepherds are only sheep too. And here's really how I would sum this part up. Too many sheep can cost you sleep, right? When you can't sleep, you count sheep. When I count sheep, I can't sleep, right? We need a shepherding ministry because there are problems with shepherds, okay? That's the second problem. Here's the third problem. It's the problem with modern models of ministry, okay? If you read the New Testament, you could count over 35 times where the expression one another is used in the New Testament. And basically, it's telling us love one another, right? Bear one another's burdens. Pay attention to one another. Be patient with one another. Help one another. Listen to one another. Man, it just goes on and on and on, that list, right? Have one another's backs is kind of what it's saying in Scripture. And now the problem with that is that's the way churches are designed. That's the way we're supposed to work. We are a group of people who come together and we're able to be aware of the needs that other people have. But the larger the church, the harder it becomes to watch over the whole flock. There is some historical tension maybe worth mentioning here, because it really hasn't been that long in human history that churches have had professional staff people, professional pastors, professional ministers. My dad was born in the early years of the last century, and when he was a pastor and he was a trainer of pastors, and during the time that he was a young man, almost no church had a paid minister, right? You borrowed them from other churches. They made the round. They rode on horses and they went from church to church on Sundays, and they often got paid in eggs and chickens and things like that, right? You liked the sermon? You know, half a dozen eggs. You didn't like it, you threw them at them, right? So things have changed a lot. And really, in different churches, certainly different elements of truth to this, but really in the churches where I was associated with, and probably most of the evangelical churches in America, it wasn't until probably the 1940s and 50s when it became in fashion for every church to have their own church staff. And when my dad was training young men to preach, he had a vision, he had a dream that a man could train and he could go work at one church, his full-time job, and he would be there to teach the church, and he would be there to help the church and lead in along with the leaders, and he would be there to provide for the needs of that church. And he thought it would be a great blessing to the church. That was a cutting-edge idea because it hadn't been done much. And he received a tremendous amount of criticism for it. It was a highly controversial issue because the people that were critical of it said, if you pay professional clergy, the rest of the people in the churches are going to stop doing anything, and they're going to expect the professionals to do all of the work. You know what? They were right. Because as churches modified and began to hire church staff, even if it was just one person, that person or persons began to take the heavier load and the greater elements of responsibility, and a lot of the people that came and were part of the flock stopped doing the things that they had always been doing before, because now we've got someone to do it. Hasn't always blessed the church. That's a historical tension. There's a practical tension, too, that kind of is logistical in the church. It's true here and probably all churches, and that is the difference between crisis care and aftercare. In the video we watched, Darnell narrated, he mentioned the fact that Stephen ministers are there after the funeral. They're there after you get laid off. They're there after the hospitalization, right? The divorce, whatever. As a church, we're pretty good at taking care of people during the crisis because you know people. And if you know people, you kind of know what's going on in their lives, and you know to draw around them and help them through the hardest parts, right? When there's a funeral, we circle, man, and we're with that family from the hospital to the funeral home to the ceremony right here and lunch after in the cemetery, right? We're right there, but guess what happens? Just about as soon as that one's done, somebody else has a crisis. And so we shift our focus to those who are, it's kind of like triage, those that are bleeding the most get the most attention. And we don't always do as great of a job of aftercare. It's another reason you need a ministry like a Stephen minister. I had a little old lady once in the hospital I was visiting, and she said, "Well, preacher, I haven't seen you for a long, long time." You got to watch those little old ladies, and they will rip you a new one pretty fast. And I said, "Well, Martha, you know, you haven't seen me because I've been sending all these other people to check on you and make sure that you're okay." She says, "But I just wanted to see you," and I appreciate that. But I said, "You didn't want to be that sick, Martha." Because usually when I show up, right, it's before the funeral. So, but there's always that tension between immediate crisis and after, okay? So we have all these problems, and we have these three problems, and there are probably more, but I want to tell you today, good news, the solution to the problem is here. It's Stephen Ministry, and it's been here for a number of years now. We don't talk about it a lot, but it's there. Let me give you the definition again. Stephen Ministry is a safety net. It's a systematic shepherding program that pairs trained shepherds with individuals in need of listening, love, encouragement, and support as they walk through or out of a valley. Okay? All right, so that's the three problems that we're kind of offering as foundation for this. Let's now shift toward the Bible, which is always a great place to go. And let me give you a couple of biblical examples that talk about systems and programs kind of like this, okay? We'll talk about one from the old, one from the new. Let's start in the Old Testament. I am in the book of Exodus, in the very thin part of my Old Testament. Exodus chapter 18. To give you a little idea of the setting, the children of Israel have just left Egypt. They're pretty fresh out of Egypt. It has been about 6 weeks now, and they are in the desert, and they're trying to figure out what to do and how to do this. They haven't started going in circles yet as punishment for their lack of faith, so they're just getting started with this. And Moses, of course, is the leader. There are 2 to 3 million people in this group, and there is one trained shepherd. Moses is the one guy that God has called to lead them, okay? And into this setup for disaster comes Moses' father-in-law. Let's read it. Exodus 18, verse 13. "The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as a judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, 'What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?' Moses answered him, 'Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws.' Moses' father-in-law replied, 'What you're doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him.'" Okay? So he's saying, "Okay, Moses, I understand there are things only you can do." Jethro says, "Do that, Moses. Do the part that only you can do." But verse 20, okay, he's going to teach them the decrees and laws and show them the way to live and the duties they are to perform. Then verse 21, "But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you will do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied." Well, pretty practical advice. You remember Jethro from the Beverly Hillbillies, right? Those of you that are older than dirt laughed at that. Okay. Jethro brings advice to Moses, and he says, "Moses, son, there's a better way. This is going to kill you. You can't not do this." And so there were some big changes that had to take place, and Jethro kind of lined them out. And what they needed was not more Moses. They needed Mo shepherds and Mo sub-shepherds. And in this system, Mo is less Mo, or less Mo is Mo-Mo. You can think about that at lunch if you want to. Okay. The second biblical example Gosh, the last crowd was so much happier about that joke. The second biblical example is Acts chapter 6, okay? In Acts chapter 6, which Kayla read for us earlier, you got the brand new church just getting started. And there are multiple thousands of people who are coming together. And you may or may not have realized that, but in this story, there is some racial tension. Because you got the folks who consider themselves true blue Jews, okay, clear, clean bloodline, Jew, and then the other Jewish people who had kind of intermarried with some of the people that lived in the area, and there was always this little tension between them. And they're both concerned that their widows are being taken care of properly. And so the 12 disciples who are new at this also find themselves with a mission conflict, and they come together and seek the Lord for a wise decision to find a better way, and big changes are involved as well. That's what we read about earlier. By the way, Kayla, great with the names. Isn't that great? 25 Bible names. You did a good job for those. Let me compare, and let's think about those two biblical examples, Exodus and Acts, what is true and what is happening in each, okay? Stay with me here. In both, the people had needs, and they were real, right? Nobody's making this stuff up. In both, the leaders had limitations, and they were real. Nobody's whining. It's just the fact of the matter. There's not enough leaders to go around. In both, it was important to the people that something be done. In both stories, it mattered to the leaders that something happen and be done. In both stories, the people are frustrated. You know what happened when sheep get frustrated? They bite. I got scars to prove it, okay? In both stories, the leaders are frustrated. You know what happens when leaders get frustrated? They get tired, they get cranky, and they burn out. In both of these stories, there's dysfunction. The people and the circumstances had created an unsustainable monster of sorts. Everybody knows there's a problem. Nobody knows quite what to do about it. In both of the stories, the leaders were glad to be needed. They liked being needed, but they just didn't quite know what to do. So something has to give. In both stories, people agree to a change of structure. Changes are hard, aren't they? Sometimes it takes a crisis to bring about a change of structure. In both stories, the leaders agree. Sometimes it's hard for leaders to do this, but they agree to let other people help. In both stories, the people get happier as their needs get met, and it's probably a system that is way better than what Moses could have done or what the disciples could have done alone. And in both of the stories, the leaders get blessed, and they become more effective because they're able to focus on what they can do best. And other people get blessed because they are allowed to come in and be a part of it, all right? And right in that list of names, horrible names, you know, no names that anyone can pronounce except the first one, Stephen. Guess where we get the name for Stephen Ministry? Right here. And it says Stephen was a man full of wisdom and the Holy Spirit. And I assume that was pretty much a quality that all of those men had. All right, so we've talked about the problem, and three of them, in fact. We've talked about two biblical examples. Let's shift now as we get near the finish here to one very practical solution, and in a word, that practical solution is multiplication. All right? It addresses all three problems, basically and biblically, all right? In the two biblical examples, one of the ways that they're going to fix this is simply to multiply the caregivers, to maximize ministry beyond multiplication. Here at Washington Avenue, right, we started this program 7 or 8 years ago, Stephen Ministry, and we prayed and prayed and prayed about it. We thought that it would be something that would bless us, and it has for these years. We have since trained dozens of Stephen Ministry people, and they have served well and faithfully. We have provided ministry care to over 80 individuals during the last few years. We're excited about that. It just does me as a pastor so much good to know that when people have needs that I cannot satisfy or give focus to, there is someone who can. It's a really, really great thing. Now, it doesn't mean in the stories that Moses didn't have an important job still. It didn't mean the apostles didn't have an important job. In fact, that's why the apostles decided they needed to change, because it says we can't spend all of our time feeding people, right? We have to preach the word. It was not that neither of them mattered, and we agree that, you know, not only can't the elders and staff adequately meet every shepherding need in the church, the truth of the matter is they shouldn't, because we are gifted with other people who have caring, loving hearts who can. So we multiply the available layers of shepherding by embracing the realities that we've talked about of people's needs and leaders' limits, by then identifying with the help of the Holy Spirit gifted and capable people who have hearts of compassion. You know, one of the beautiful things about the way God designed the church is that not any one of us has all of the gifts, but all of us together have all of the gifts that we need. And then we take those people that God provides and we train them very thoroughly. The current class of Stephen ministers will have come just now through 50 hours of classroom training and experience and other time that they have spent together. And the work of a Stephen ministry doesn't happen in a vacuum. It's not once and done. They come together very regularly and encourage and learn as they help people, all right? And they are trained during this time how to be completely appropriate in all of the contact that they have. They are trained to be extremely confidential. That's one of the bedrock backbones of this program. You get a Stephen minister, nobody's blabbing about it. Almost nobody knows about it, honestly. Okay? Even usually I don't know about it, right? Although the sum total of things I don't know is pretty staggering some days, right? Okay? I don't want to know. They're trained to use biblical encouragement and to help people to remember what they probably already know. They're trained to be nurturing. They're trained to deal with different situations. Sometimes they're even trained to be able to see if a person maybe needs a little bit more than they can offer, and they can help them to find a licensed professional Christian counselor to talk with if they need that, all right? So the beauty of having these Stephen ministry people in our church is that there are plenty of shepherds, all right? What are the results? Well, in the book of Exodus, the last verse there said the people went away satisfied, right? That's a good thing. In the book of Acts, verse 5, it said the whole group was pleased. Probably the last time that ever happened in a church anywhere, right? The whole group was pleased. And what about Washington Avenue? Well, I hope that what it says in Acts 6, verse 7 is true. It said the church continued to grow and the word of God spread. And you know, that's what can happen when a church is healthy and the sheep feel cared for and everybody is getting what they need. Proclamation can go on and increase, and providence can be witnessed. Satisfaction is the result. They went away, it says in Acts, in peace and in Exodus. So Stephen ministry is, it's an ongoing solution to that need that we always have and always will have for more shepherds. It doesn't replace or remove the responsibility of the elders or the pastors. It is not professional counseling or therapy. It is not intended to be that or replace that. But it is a proven fact that often simple, loving encouragement and support, shepherding through a valley of brambles, is often hugely impactful in helping people put the pieces back together or even just keep their head above water until they get stronger. It's amazing the power of encouragement and support. So as I finish this, let me get totally personal before we totally run out of time here, but maybe God will one day call you through the Holy Spirit to be a Stephen minister. We will offer periodic training opportunities as we progress and see the need for that. If you feel like you'd like to be a Stephen ministry, call the church office. We'll connect you, okay? Maybe you are in need of a Stephen minister. Maybe life has just gotten a little heavy for you, a little too much to carry, a little too much to bear. Maybe you've gone through a crisis and now you're at that after place that we talked about in the video and you need an after person. There are men that will come alongside men, women that will come alongside women. I will say, guys, as far as sheep go, guys are even dumber than women, okay? And that was kind of a two-edged compliment there, wasn't it? But guys are dumb because guys are unwilling to ask for help. Women are good at it. Women are good at relationships. Guys are scared to death of stuff like that. But let me tell you guys, there's a chance that some of you could benefit greatly carrying the load that you're carrying in life right now. And I would encourage you to be brave enough to reach out and ask for a Stephen minister. If you are interested in that ever, in the pew racks, there are these little cards. They're there every week. You probably don't even see them anymore because they've been there. But this tells you about Stephen ministry, and it tells you how to get connected here, contact the church if you need one, or maybe you know someone who needs one. That's the other angle of this. If you know someone you think could benefit from the kind of things that we're talking about, they don't even have to be members of our church, okay? We help a lot of people that aren't. So just let us know. Again, it's handled very confidentially. And you know, the beauty of this kind of a program existing in the church is just a reminder that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is always there, always watching over us. But you know, sometimes you need someone with skin on, right? And Stephen Ministry is exactly that. It is the love of Jesus Christ with skin on, and it can make a difference in your life. You don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to be alone anymore. All right, this time I want to ask our three new Stephen Ministry graduates to come forward here to the front, and I want the other Stephen ministers in church to come on here and come in around behind them. And if I have elders in the service this hour, would you guys come up and stand kind of at the back of the clump, all right? These guys are getting really good at this because it's the third time they've done it today. And yes, they still, you know, talk about sheep. Look at these sheep coming to the front. He's a sheep dog or something. Here they come. All right. Jim and Dana and Kurt, thank you guys so much for saying yes to the Lord's calling to enter this part of ministry at Washington Avenue. Thanks for the time. What you have given, for letting your heart follow the Lord's leading, and thank you for what you will give in the future as you help and come alongside people. We appreciate you. I'm going to read this charge to you, and the rest of you remember because you heard this charge here once as well, and it's still the same. Because you have promised faithfully to serve the Lord Jesus and his people as Stephen ministers, today I commend you to the care and guidance of the Holy Spirit as you in turn care for others. Work hard. Use the skills that you have learned, releasing the gifts and talents the Spirit of God has given you so that you might be a blessing to all of the people that God puts in your pathway. Continue to study and learn. Reflect upon the situations that you encounter. Seek wisdom from other Stephen ministers. Pray for the people whose lives you are privileged to share. Feel free to share your own personal learning and frustrations and needs with them so that you might receive the same kind of care and love that you offer others. Act boldly in this and without fear, for Christ is with you. And may the God of peace sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and bodies be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you guys want to crunch in a little bit, we're going to offer a prayer. Father, we ask you to take these new Stephen ministers into your care. We lift up Jim and Dana and Kurt, as well as all of our others. Father, you have blessed them with particular gifts and talents, and you have provided them with an opportunity to learn now more ways to help people. May they serve with the power of the Holy Spirit in them. May they be quick to serve and patient in listening, and so very willing to share themselves with people. Father, give us thankful hearts for them and appreciation for them, and show them in times of stress and satisfaction, Lord, show them a special measure of your mercy and your joy. Keep them strong in the faith as they help others in struggle. Lord, help them to know that you have placed them in this position and you have given them this responsibility for the sake of Jesus, who cares for all of us in every way forever. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. May God bless you in your ministry.
The marathon is over.
They've all been to church a lot today. I probably won't see them for weeks. It is so good to have you here today. And even though it's a little bit of an odd Sunday for us, I'm glad to get a chance to talk to you about these things that are kind of ever-present, maybe to the point of invisibility, right? And be reminded again of how valuable this ministry is to us as a church. Let me make a quick commercial. I'm going to let you out of here because we are out of time. Come next Sunday. It is Mother's Day. That's always a big day at the church. It's going to be exciting. We get to introduce babies. We got 6 or 7 brand new babies we get to introduce that God blessed us with last year. And we have another somewhat related announcement that I think and hope you will find very, very exciting. But if you're not here, you won't hear it. So you got to come. And if they're not here, you're not allowed to tell them about it. So you got to come. Stand up. Let's pray. Father, what a blessing to be in your house today. Go with us now as we leave here. I pray that you would guard us. Father, we sang it as we started today. Help us to remember you are a God who is so faithful and so good. Thank you for blessing this little flock here. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you.
Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for checking out a worship experience here at Washington Avenue Christian Church. We're so glad that you chose to carve out part of your weekend to spend with us. And we would love to know that you were here watching with us online. So would you take just a moment, head over to our website, wacconline.org, and fill out the digital connect card there. You can let us know that you were here. You can let us know any next steps that you may be interested in taking, including but not limited to placing your faith in Jesus for the very first time. You can also let us know about anything that we can be praying about for you and with you. And I will be following up with you later on this week about those connect cards. Again, we're so glad that you chose to be with us for this worship experience at Washington Avenue Christian Church, where real people experience real grace.